taping today is September 11th, and we're going to discuss the introduction of the Groth and the Malbim to what their agenda is. It's pretty much a similar agenda, actually, and which is to literally nitpick, really, really, to be very careful with the verbiage that is used in the different parts of the Pasuk. Depending on the type of proverb we're talking about, whether it's a chiastic proverb that says this is what happens to the lazy man, but the industrious man gets that. Some are just straight parallel that says Sason is waiting for this person and Simcha for that type of behavior, which is not a contrast kind of pasuk, but just saying sometimes the same thing in two different ways. It's direct parallelism. So when the Vilna Gaon and the Malbim are very adept, not only initially but especially initially, at finding the specific differences between the words, again they don't only do this in Sefer Mishlei. The Gaon has a parish as the Malbim does on the whole Tanakh, and they very carefully define the differences between specific terminologies. It'll be a bit challenging to us to see if these differences stand the test of the fullness of Tanakh, right? Let's say these two words, Sason and Simcha, appear in the same pasuk, which it does in a number of places in Mishlei, and the Gaon will tell us what's the difference between these two words to make this behavior elicit a reaction of Sason, and to make this behavior a reaction of Simcha. Right? You see the derech?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. But wouldn't it, you don't need it to be true across all Tanakh. You just need it to be true across all the books that Chizkiyahu or Shlomo wrote.
Fair enough. Except. Especially since you can see that they're pretty close in nature I accept the point, or at least in wisdom literature types of Prokim and Tanakh. Maybe in a narrative, say for Shmuel, words can be more loosely thrown around than in a book that is trying to specifically give you a message of Musar. I think you should be a little more specific here. Right? If a word like Pachad or Yira, must these always stand the test throughout Tanakh of what the pasuk means and what the word means.
Is there also a difference between Torah and Nach as far as the difference between those words?
In Chazal, and even when explaining the words or explaining phrases, they will use a phrase in Megillat Esther to shed light on a similar phrase in Bereishis. And they say, wait a second, those are written 1,000 years apart, for goodness sakes, from Matan Torah to let's assume that some things that appear in Bereishis are used not only because of the way it's used in Moshe's time, but the way it's used in Abraham's time. So words evolve over time, don't they? I mean, think of an English language from Beowulf to Shakespeare to modern English. For goodness sakes, that's just 1,000 years, and you see quite an evolution. You can't understand Beowulf's English, right? Or Canterbury Tales, or stuff like that, right? Without a commentary. And that's just 1,000 years. So there's clearly a very big difference between these two, because the Hebrew language has been such a living, used language all this time, right? That, this Torah is studied every day by so many people, that it continues to be a living book that defines hundreds of years later. You know what I'm saying? It's true about Tanakh in general. Someone who never opened up a Tanakh but speaks fluent Hebrew in Israel and is an adult and has full command of the language and its grammar will manage Tanakh. There will be some roadblocks, I understand. That might help for anybody. But they'll manage.
And so relatively, it was revitalized.
There's no question that Eliezer Ben Yehuda, with his dictionary and his modernization, should you call what you put on when you're called a sveder or a tzimria? You know, okay, so, you know, I understand. Words like mitriya for an umbrella from the word matara, but they all use the sweater, simriya from semer, right? Is all going to come back from words that appear to not. Okay, let's get back to our point here, is that these two, the Malbim and the Vilna Gaon, and there are others certainly that are in that league, but these are the two that we're discussing in Mishlei. These two will carefully nitpick at how a word is used. Why is it Shema Bani Toras? Shema Bani Musar Avicha Valtitosh Toras Imecha. Right? It's the Vilna Gaon's derech to say that those phraseologies are used specifically for a reason. Your Musar comes from your Av, and Torah from the Ein, really? Isn't your father teaching me Torah, and the mother giving me Musar? You know, how does that fit in? Right? Okay, so we'll, actually, that's an early pasuk in Mishnah. We might just pick up on that to figure out what's happening. All right, let's read the very beginning of the Vilna Gaon to start with. Mishlei, anyone have it? We're looking at this page here. Beginning of the Mishlei Habra. Over there. Okay. Bechol davar ish chomer poel b'tzura b'tachlis. Amazingly, the Malbim does the same thing without talking about without mentioning the Vilna Gaon by name. Let's just look at the Malbim, just side by side. Classical philosophers have defined the nature of phenomena under four headings: content, form, agent, and purpose. Right? And you see, this is a concept of Aristotle mentioned by Abravanel in his commentary to the Torah. The classical philosophers, Rambam mentions this in the Maor Nebuchadnezzar. In this work, the content and form are immediately stated to be proverbs, a collection of metaphorical apothegms in which obscure and profound concepts are made accessible by reference to easily intelligible concepts. The agent is Solomon, who has three titles, corresponding to three modes of acquiring truth. Okay, the agent, the one who gets us, makes accessible this information, right, is Shlomo, suggesting his wisdom and power of prophecy. He is the son of David, suggesting the truths of tradition, transmitted from father to son. And he is the king of Israel, suggesting his discernment and empirical intelligence, aided by the availability of a community of the intelligent. Because he's king, he has all the necessary information before him to impart what we need to know. Okay, that's why the first pasuk says Mishlei Shlomo ben David Melech Israel. Mishlei is the proverbs, is the content and the form stated to us in different ways, in different parallel ways, as I mentioned just before. Right? Okay. And what we have are truths that when we hear them, right, it's sort of like a philosophy class. What they teach you are things, yes, of course, that's obvious. Yes, of course, I know that. But it's put into a form that is made accessible. Okay? And there's an agent to get it to you. That's Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael. Okay? What we did in the last class, if you recall, was to ask why Shir HaShirim didn't mention David, Melech Yisrael. We just did why it didn't mention Ben David. But now we can see why it doesn't mention Melech Yisrael either. Because the nature of Shir HaShirim doesn't have to impress upon us the necessary accessibility to write a book like this. Right? Shir HaShirim is less sophisticated. May have to be more sophisticated on a different level involving music and love and emotions. You with me? But it doesn't need to refer to Melech Yisrael. Get that? It's very important. All right? Shir Shir doesn't need to mention David or Melech Israel. Okay? What I just did, differentiating between Shir HaShirim and Mishlei, Hebra, involves some of this higher cognitive thinking that we did talk about last class. Okay. Right, so the purpose of, I'm still in the Malachim right now. The purpose, however, which is the bottom line, right, the content in the form of Proverbs, the agent is Shlomo, and the purpose of the book will start with what letter does the Hebrew alphabet use to teach you purpose? Alamed, right? Las, kedei le havin, lasos, the horos, lishmoa, lilmod, lilamei, lishmor, lasos, lilkayeni, get all those lamids? So don't be surprised that the first few psukim. Don't be surprised that the first few psukim that teach us purpose should all begin with lamed. Beautiful Ramban, for instance, in Parshas Bereishis, he talks Asher Bara Elokim La'asos, to give man purpose in the world. Look at that Ramban on La'asos. Beautiful point. It's the same point here, okay? Which is La'das Chochma Musa V'Habini Rabina La'kachas Musa Haskel Tzedek V'Mishpatim Isharim. I'm not going to delve into this because we discussed these psukim in the last class, right? Okay, when we're talking about the lower cognitive thinking, all right?
So just to clarify, so the psukim begin with the lamed just because lamed needs to do things?
This is the purpose. We're looking at the purpose of teaching us these proverbs.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's sort of why does Shas, and this is a discussion itself, why does Shas include periodos? Why should that be in Shas? The question becomes even more interesting when you posit that according to David Zvi Hoffman, he writes that Shas was originally Kodshim, Taros, Zroim, Moed, Noshim, Nezikim. That originally the Kodesh and Taurus were taught at the beginning of Shas because kids learned Vayikra the first thing, the Gemara says. So it makes sense that the first Mishnah should be when Vayikra teaches Kodesh. Why was it later put at the end of, because at the destruction of the base of Mikdash, we have bigger fish to fry with these Sedarim than this. So we put this at the end of Shas. But originally it was the beginning of Shas, and according to that Cheshbon, Pirkei Avos is the last Masechta. It's at the end of Nezikin. And therefore, what it's trying to tell you is what these lamas are telling you. Is that this book is here to teach you not how to wet tzitzis and tefillin and how to do mitzvah, because that's assumed. I haven't talked about it already. It is to perfect your person. Your person should be a chosid me'ula. Person who is in charge of his personality. Right? We can go in many different directions with this. That you're in control. Now you see what the last parak of this book. Remember we talked about Lemuel? The mother tells Lemuel, you are a king of a vast kingdom. Every one of us is. That's our bodies. It's our kingdom. And even if you learn the first 30 prakim of Mishlei, you can lose that kingdom if you give in to wine and women. Okay? And when he thanks her for this message, he sings Eishes Chayil. Eishes Chayil is not sung to our wives, it's sung to our mothers in its original form, right? Instead of singing on Shabbos, you know, my wife would have said, you know, set up for Shabbos and everything is in, and we're singing together. It's really a man to his mother in its original form. Okay? Gemara Sanhedrin has a kind of builds up conversations between Shlomo and Bathsheba, but in the book it's that the king's name is Lemuel, and his mother teaches him how to be in control, and more important, how not to lose control. Okay? Got it? So Avos being at the end of Shas is there to teach us a similar message. This is assumed. Your Torah is there, but you have to put the Torah in a kli that is a perfection in midos and deos. Okay? Really?
Deos,
right? Midos are characteristics, and deos are thoughts and ideas. Right? So, that is what these lamets are about, to understand that. Because can you have someone who follows the whole Torah and does not have those midos? The answer is, yeah, it's possible. Okay, again, I quote the Ramban, famously at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, who says you could be what's called a nohol, you're shit satorah. You're roguish, and you're doing so with permission of the Torah, following every mitzvah of the Torah. Okay? So this is that element that it wants to teach you. And in order to do so, you have to have the word, you see, Musar appears in these first few psukim, in Pasuk Beis, in Pasuk Gimel. In Pasuk Dalet, it has Orma and Mezima. So we talked about this last class, I'm not going to review. Orma and Mezima just means crafty. Know how to outsmart what is so smart, it teaches you how to do things you shouldn't be doing. How to teach things that you know is wrong, you know you shouldn't be doing. But for the moment, and this is shown by studies to be chemical. The certain things that go on in your mind that studies have shown when you see the cards being dealt or the dice falling. Or, I know gamblers who have successfully gone months without gambling, but when they went to a house and they saw someone playing Monopoly and there were dice, they couldn't help themselves. After Shabbos, they went to a gambling site on the computer. So, or an alcoholic who's successfully went a long time without taking a drink. An ice cube falling into a cup and making a lot of noise. Got them. Their inhibition is as thin as tissue paper on certain issues, right? The urge is so much greater than the inhibition. You hear me? You got it? Okay, now all of them, our inhibitions are all made stronger by our experiences. This is what all this limud and chochma and bina and all these things. Make it your experiences from your mother and your father from your earliest days. Right? Everybody has to know what's my strength, what's my weakness. Got it? Okay? But only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what everyone's struggle is. My reward for not eating shrimp and lobster, I understand, is not going to be as great as the Baal Tshuva's reward for not doing the same, who has a recollection of how much he used to love it. Uh-huh. Okay, so let's get back into a little more Malvin. Okay, and the Vilna Gaon says all the same things. It's uncanny how the
Vilna Gaon
is well before the Malvin.
Vilna
Gaon was 100 years before the Malvin, and he there's not even a note here about how this comes out of the hand of Vilna Gaon's parish. All right, so. Malvin was mid to late 19th century. The Vilna Gaon died, I think, in 1797.
Does the Malvin usually pay a tribute, or he just?
No, because some of these thoughts are from the Rambam also. Some of this.
So they're both
taken in the same place. Let's say. All right, but here's the point, and this is very well done. The Vilna Gaon is very good at this. Also, is to take philosophical truths known to everybody, right? And he says, well, it's not Aristotle. Shlomo says it. But here's the point. I'm going to clearly show that this is Shlomo. I'm not extracting it. I'm not pulling it out. It's clear in the verse that this is Shlomo. Right? You know, let's say if I have using certain exegetical notions pulled out of a pasuk in Sefer Melachim, that pi, and I have a definition of pi to like 7 or 8 decimal points, which was totally unknown in that. So they were dealing with a 2207 kind of pi. So if I have such a thing, that might just be someone extracting it from the Bible. It's amazing and not very convincing. That's a question you always have to ask when you read a commentary. Is that really what the text is saying, or are you pulling it out of the text? So in some cases, those are the same things, but here, the Vilna Gaon does a very convincing job of showing all of these things that the philosophers have been saying about the acquisition of knowledge and the purpose of knowledge in epistemological notions and all philosophical notions and logic. It's all there in the beginning of Mishlei. No other book of the Bible is interested like this. But Mishlei takes you in a different direction than all other ancient wisdom codes. Because there is, this is known as sapiential literature. There are other nations with wisdom codes. But what separates our story, separates Mishlei, is that there is a moral component in Mishlei. Some ancient nations say, don't we have to be in control? Just give in to your instincts. Right? Okay, they want to appeal to a broad base, and that's more fun, isn't it? Right? If their instincts, give in to them. Comes Mishlei to say, no, I'm sorry. Depending on what your parents taught you, you will have instincts that are not good for society. Don't give in to those. Fight them, because you can. Right? Okay? Okay, so do you see the school of the Gaon and the Malgam? Are you starting to see what they're where they're going with this?
But in Mishlei itself, does Shlomo does he say that like wisdom and morals, you gotta not just thinking but you have to do it, or is it
good? That's what this introduction is. That's what we're extracting from this introduction. Once you get past Pasuk Ches, I'm still going to have more mussar about why it's important to listen to these words, right? But the first seven or eight psukim are crucial to figure out, because he tells you what the purpose of this book is. Right? So let's read further. Right? Once I get to all of these three things, l'da'as chochma musar, l'havin yimebino, l'kachas musar haskil, tzedek u'mishpat, right, u'meisharim, l'seis l'psoyim orma, l'nar da'asim zima. Please confer your notes from last class where we discussed these things aside. So now, look at what the Malbim writes on verse 4. At this point, the author turns to the subject of his intended audience and shows that, in effect, all sections of the public stand to benefit from this work. Right, from the simple, right? From the simple, psa'im, even the simple have what to learn from this. Following? You don't have to be a rocket surgeon in order to figure out what's going on here, okay? I did that purposely. Alright, so first and first to the simple, the naive people. Credulous, who have to learn to be more discriminating and judicious, I can help you with that. Remember, we talked about Orma and Mizima last class, and how it's used in the Bible and how it's used in Mishlei. Okay. So, look at 5. The wise and understanding among Solomon's audience, too, will find in these proverbs material that will expand and enrich their minds. That's always a problem. Like, if I don't prepare for class, I'm lost. If I do prepare, I'm bored. So which one is which? A best teacher is someone where you can give the preparation, right? And the teacher adds on to that. So Mishlei comes and says, I'm here. This advice is good for the simple, the naive, for the even the pesi, right? Pesi psoyin, shamek psoyin Hashem, right? Right? So, machkimas pesi, pasuk in Tehillim. Edus Hashem ne'amona machkimas pesi. Right, so it gives wisdom even to the simpleton. Right, I think that the word elsewhere the Malbim says that the word pesi for doesn't mean fool, it means naive. It's related to pitui, which means to seduce. The fool is easily seduced. He can be taken in this direction easily and taken in that direction. Okay, so mold that person. Right? You hear it? You get the connection between pitui, which means to seduce someone, onis mafate in the Gemara, and the pesi. So, but it's also good for the wise one. No one should think, oh, I know that I'm good at it. I'm a philosophy major. I'm okay. I don't need to learn Mishlei. This has something for everybody. You hear it? Okay. I would like to get off on a small tangent right this moment to show you the nature of this work that I... you can forget it here.
Yeah.
So, open up to Pesukei, Pirkei Pesukei. Get ready for a ride, because you've never seen anything like this. Right? Only thing that closely resembles what we're about to read, that dares put this kind of stuff into a commentary, is sometimes you see it in the Balat Turim to the Torah. Not the Tur al HaTorah, which is more Pshatim oriented, but the Balat Turim al HaTorah. Sometimes it's Pshatim, but it mostly is filled with Gematrias, Rosh Tevos, you know, things like that. Right? So, where it's sort of like an attempt to find a hint to every single thing that's out there in the Torah. Okay, look at Pasuk. So he writes that the Pasuk says, Yishma chacham v'yosif lekach, v'navon tachbulot yikneh. We didn't talk about this last class. The chacham can hear what I have to say, and in his chachma, add to that chachma. Because he's wise, he's going to become wiser. Right? V'yosif, v'yosef lekach. He will add on acquisition, he will add on acquisitions because he's a chacham, and an understanding person will even add on tachbulot again, like nizima and arma is usually considered something negative, and initially it's turned into a positive, right? Okay. And in the end, like we said last class, it all turns into morality. But fools despise this, but you have to have the knowledge first of morality. So look what he does in Pasuk. You see how this is set up? You have Rashi right underneath. You have the Perush HaRokeach. And now we're doing our third school, but you can just see right away what kind of school this is. Right? So he writes... Leif shoteh, with me, Pasuk Hey, reading together. Leif shoteh naase chacham min hatov. A foolish heart can be turned into a wise heart by applying Torah. Right? Ani lo kol shekein, and I, right? How much more so if I start off as a chacham? Klomar, look at my note 15. Limud haTorah machkim et leiv hashoteh. V'im kein halo dvarim kal v'chomer. Im haTorah machkima et leiv hashoteh, leiv Shlomo HaMelech lo kol shekein. Now, he said, what I write in the beginning is that each one of us is Shlomo HaMelech. The reader who incorporates this book becomes Shlomo HaMelech. Or in the end, Lemuel. Got it? Right? We'll look at the end, why his name is Lemuel. Umidrash. Right? I write in my note, the Chora Ritzolomar, Shekach Hu Doresh. Hu Doresh. Ein Kavanato Shekach Doshu Chazal at the Pasuk. Usually when you write Midrash, you have to point to a drash. I couldn't find a drash that says this. Obviously. Take a look. This is the school of Rokeach. Put on a seatbelt. Kol Makom Shepolik Rabba V'Rav Yosef Halocha Kirabba. Every time that Rabba, you've heard of Rabba the Gemara? Abaye's adopted father, Rabba Bar Nachmani, right? That's why Abaye is called Nachmani in the Gemara. Every time that Rabba and Rav Yosef, remember Rav Yosef, he was blind, he's the guy who lost, he had some kind of brain tumor or something, made him forget his whole Torah, and Abaye taught it all back to him. Right? That's Rav Yosef. They're Bar Kokhtas all the time. Halacha ki Rabba, whatever they argue, 500, 600 times or more in Shas, where they argue, right? The halacha is always like Rabba, chutz me'elu gimel makomos, except for three places. And I give you, we see note number 17, right? There's debates in the Rishonim as to how to configure these three places, but the three places are Sodeh, Nechtso, Inyan. There's the three places in Bava Basra, where it says the halacha is like Rav Yosef, and they make a Rosh Tevos out of it. Sote nechtsa inyan. Right? And who is the halacha like in these three cases? Yosef, not like Rabbah. Right? So see what he does? Okay? I'll give you the three places in Shas where these machlokuses appear, what they are, right? So if you take the word Yosef, the Yud of Yosef, the Shin of Sodeh, the Mem of Mechza, the Ayin of Inyan. See what I just did on the board? Look at the board. Now look at the puzzle. Yishma Chacham. Yishma. You see the Rosh Tevos? Yishma Yosef, Sodeh, Mechza, Inyan. Right? In that case, Yosef takes, the wise man Yosef takes the halacha. See it? So this is what the Rokeach does throughout this parish, is that you don't need only Mishlei to do this, but Mishlei is the parish that we've got our hands on. He has a parish to the Torah also, where he does this sometimes but less. Okay? The school of Rokeach tries to find hints for every little thing that's out there in the words of Torah. Okay? And look, what does this pasuk have to do with Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, for goodness sakes? Right? Because these two are very, very good friends. One lost Chochmah and reacquired it. Get it? He lost it because the Gemara talks about something in his head. It blinded him. That did not return to him. Right? Sometimes you get a tumor that gets on an optic nerve. The tumor is not cancerous, but because it's there when it shouldn't be, right? The blindness doesn't return. If they did something, the tumor itself somehow, collapsed or something, the optic nerve is still affected and they saw again. But his lech returned to him. So you see, there's always a deeper meaning in these things that okay, but that's my job to darshan it out. But what he means? Why? What does this pasuk have to do with Rabbi and Yosef? The answer is that that. No matter where you went, and that you got blind, a brain tumor, read these words, my son, and your chokhmah will return to you. Okay, got it? Even if you never had it. Okay, I'm going to give you. Let me stop with